You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, gorgeous? It is Lala Kent.
With Rant. Big, big Wednesday.
Huge Wednesday.
I would say the biggest Wednesday of 2 years that we've been doing this podcast.
I am back on TV with my crew.
Wow.
I know.
What makes this Wednesday special is that you have been on a show for a long time. The show went into hiatus.
Yep.
Because of the pandemic.
Yes.
And you had the season premiere last night. Go, Lala.
Yes, give him a good clap. Rand loves a good clap.
All right, tell us, Lala. Let's jump right into it. Nobody wants to hear any bullshit today. They want to hear you spill the fucking tea.
All right, so let's do a prereq real quick. Keep in mind, like, the season is completed. A lot of us went toes. A lot of us get along. A lot of us don't. A lot of us are cool now. But let's talk about last night's episode. Randall, what did you think of it, first of all?
I honestly had so much fun watching it. I mean, there are parts that, you know, like, that I probably didn't love as much.
The butthole.
Enough with it.
I thought it played out really nicely. Like, I thought it was going to be a much bigger deal, and it was actually just like a clip.
Here's the thing. It was a different time in your life, and we've discussed this. But here, at the end of the day, I want to talk about the show, the parts that I do love. I think that your cast, and I've said this for a long time, the fact you've been together now for 9 years, and you guys still go at it, I mean, I'm in shock. It is off the chain. When your group gets together, there's just like, boom.
Rewatching it, it was like, I remember it so vividly. You know, because I came into the season as kind of an outsider.
Right, because you can't, that's right, because you hadn't even seen the show.
Well, my crew that, you know, I am down with, they're no longer on the show anymore. So I came in, I had Katie, and that's pretty much where my alliances ended. You know?
So you have Katie and that's it.
Yeah, so I just felt like that day was amazing. It was the first day that we had filmed. I was promoting my book. I had a new baby.
Yeah.
And
you were feeling yourself.
I was feeling myself. And, you know, the whole thing with Sheena, after I watched the episode, and she had texted me and she was like, what did you think? And I said, well, our scene made me sob and it continues to make me sob. Well, my God, I did the same thing. I just cried.
It's crazy because I watched you watch the episode.
Yeah.
And you had tears in your eyes.
I can't stop crying every time I watch it. Yeah. Because it was like, for me, and I even think for her, that was the end of our friendship.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no coming back from this. No one's getting an apology from me.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the fucked up thing about perception, is we all have our own.
Right.
You know, so I was thinking in that moment that she had miscarried, that I was there all the way.
Well, I mean, I wasn't in the calls and the texts, but I do know throughout the day you were saying, do you want me to come see you? You asked her, and she at that point was going through it and you know, dealing with the Brock.
Right.
The Brock of it, like all that.
But if you watch the scene where she's talking to Brock, where she's like, I'm having a panic attack now. It's like, well, hold up. You can't expect everyone to drop everything when you're finally ready.
Right. So, but you, from what I understand, and tell me if I'm wrong that day, because I was around, she called you a bunch of times. You offered to go see her that day, but then yeah, she said, no, she just wants to be alone and wait for Brock.
Yep. She wanted to go to sleep.
And be with Brock and be with her man.
Yeah. And then she called me and said, you know, I just found out that Brock is golfing. I checked his location. He hasn't answered me in a few hours. And, you know, by that time I had offered a bunch of times like to come see her.
Right.
And, you know, they keep saying she chose celebrity. No, no, no. I didn't. If anyone who knows me knows, I don't give a fuck who you are, what you do. None of it. You and I had gone on a couple's trip, and, you know, Sheena was also in Palm Springs. I offered over and over again. Even when she said, can you come now? And I was on my way to dinner. I said, I can come after. Are you hungry?
Yeah, you were going to bring her food.
Right. I told her, like, I can for sure. I'm on my way to dinner. I will 100% come after. She said, by then I'll be asleep. And I said, I'm going to text you when I finish dinner. If you are, great. If you're not, I will come to you. So,
well, this is what I don't understand about that whole thing. What I didn't understand is I remember throughout the day you offered to go see her. Mm-hmm. And she was obviously in a lot of pain and she wanted to be by herself. I remember right. that. You told me that. And then on our way to dinner, she had called you and you said, I'll come right after, which the restaurant was actually much closer to her house. Yeah. So that was easy. And at that point, she was like, you know, I'm going to sleep or whatever you had told me. But I just, what I'm shocked about is I thought you guys were communicating well all day. So when all this stuff blew up, I was shocked at the perception, you know, of both sides.
Totally.
But, you know, listen, she was going through a catastrophic, horrible moment. And I thought you were trying to be there as for her as a friend. And at that time, she didn't want you there.
Yeah.
And then when she called you, I think she made it more about you, who you were going to dinner with, which was irrelevant.
Like, well, for me, it was irrelevant.
Right. But I mean, it doesn't matter. Like we had, by the way, we had dinner with a bunch of people and you were ready to bail out of that dinner and had like eat for like 30 minutes, you said, and then go to her house.
100%.
And at that point, she didn't want you there.
So luckily, you know, last night we squash it. We have a beautiful moment together. Like I remember that. And you have to know, like when we're having conversations like that conversation was very long. Obviously they used all of the key moments that were important. Like anytime you're watching the show, every moment you see was the most important of the conversation, you know? So then we move on where I go outside and Raquel comes to check on me. What I think she's doing is coming to check on me. But then she like sits down and asks me, are we good? And I was like, I was a little confused when she did that though, Rand, because I was like, well, yeah, we're good. I mean, I've lashed out at you before, but we're in 2021. We haven't filmed this show in a couple years. And if my calculations are correct, that's the last time I lashed out. Are we not over that? You've been on my podcast since then. We've texted since then. So I was a little thrown, you know? And so I mean,
we've spent time with Raquel and James. So, I mean, I was shocked to see that on the show.
Shocked too. And can I tell you, in that moment, I felt so awkward because she was like, I just want to make sure we're good. And I'm like, I like you and I really dig you. And then she comes at me with the, well, I don't need your approval. I'm like, okay, then why are you sitting here asking me if we're good? You know, like I was so lost and my face, I remember through that whole conversation that I was so confused and I literally jokingly, by the way, Rand, I was like, oh my God, I said out loud. I was like, this is the moment that I relapse. Like I'm going to pick a drink up. And she goes, oh no, don't do that. I go, I'm joking. This is not going to, if I decide to drink again, this isn't going to be the tipping point. Trust me. I've been through some shit. This ain't the moment. And I was just so lost by that whole thing. And I remember it being such an awkward scene. But it actually played out really cute when I was like, do you need to be babied? And I thought she was so cute. And she was like, just a little bit. And I'm like, okay, now we're good.
Right.
And bam, here comes Ariana. I felt that night like I was in the Twilight Zone. I was like, I can't catch a break. I'm tired. I just had a moment with Sheena. It's Sheena's birthday. Then Ariana, which by the way, was Schwasty baby. I couldn't get a word in. Like, again, we got all the key moments out of that scene.
Did it go on longer? Because I wasn't there that night.
It was nonstop. She wouldn't let me talk. And I was like, I could not get a word in. And that's when I decided, I was like, I can't, I'm out.
But here's the thing. What's shocking
is, I don't like conversations that are not productive for me.
I understand.
Yeah.
What I don't understand, though, is that after watching that, I've been around Ariana, I've been around all of your friends, and you guys get along for the most part. And then something happens in these moments, generally like with alcohol or all of you, you know, maybe it's all of you in the same place, like all of you. Because I've seen you like you and Ariana or you and Sheena, but I don't think I've seen the whole group together in a long time.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where you put a group together who have very, I'll call them passionate people. We're very passionate about what we think, how we feel. We think that everyone needs to know every single thing that's going on in our mind, which is great because for the most part, our rugs are clean. Ain't nothing under there, you know, for the most part, which I admire because there's no stronger bounce back than this group. Like, we are resilient as it gets.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, that's why I said at the beginning, I'm like, we're talking about this episode. A lot of us are in different places now.
Yeah.
You know, we filmed a whole season where there's a lot of resolve. But in this episode, this is where my head was at.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, watching Ariana, I was like, what do? Do I muzzle her with her faux fur? Do I throw her in the pool? Do I give her shock therapy? I don't know. I think the easiest thing to do.
People can see my face right now.
I know. He's looking at me like, please shut up.
But what I think at the end of the day is, I think you guys are passionate people. I think you're all creative people. And I think that when you all get together, it's like the 4th of July. So I was shocked to see a lot of the stuff I saw on the first episode. But hey, fuck, it was intense. It was exciting. And
I thought it was really fantastic.
It was fun to watch.
I'm
glad
there
I wasn't
were a
in
couple
that
moments. I wasn't cringing at myself, but a few people I was like, horrifying. I need to crawl in my own hole because I'm embarrassed for you right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is intense. I think I just got to say this. I feel like the fact that Vanderpump's back for you and for your cast is going to be so fun for audiences. They must be so excited because it's been a couple of years.
That's so weird to me.
I know.
Because I feel like we picked up where we left off.
Yeah, you guys have a special ability.
And not only did we pick up where we left off, there was a whole slew of just emotions that had happened over the course of 2 years.
Yeah.
That it was just like every time someone talked about something, it was just building up. And, you know, we couldn't be around each other because we were in quarantine for so long and the pandemic hit. So it was like there was no way for us to duke it out anyway. You know, it's like we picked up filming when you could start seeing people.
Well, the other thing that I think is very different is that, you know, a lot of you are, I mean, a few of you are mothers now. And so that adds a whole nother layer, a whole nother dynamic. So I think, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, I'm very, very excited because I saw the first episode and that was. I mean, I was at the edge of my seat. I had no idea this shit show was happening.
I thought the first episode was great. I hope that everyone gives it a chance. I know that it looks different. I know that we've been away for a long time, but like, give it a chance because everyone knows, I don't need to go into it. Everyone knows how I felt about season 8. This season, we're back to the roots. We are like, it's like these friendships and this history that really, it's beautiful, it's intense, and I hope you all enjoy it.
And
now,
I want to add one thing to that. No, watching this season did remind me, because I've watched it from the beginning, it did remind me of the early days where, you know, it just was super raw. And I think you guys, I think it's going to be a lot of fun for audiences to see. But I agree, the first episode was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was amazing. And now we are going to take a break. But before we head into the break, we have such an epic guest coming on. His name is Chris Medina. He is a celebrity psychic. Everyone knows I'm obsessed with psychics. I can't wait for him to be on the show.
They call him the Howard Stern of psychics. I mean, come on. That's as cool as it frigging gets.
I'm shaking in my Nikes.
Can I tell you one last thing about him?
What?
He started giving readings at the age of 3. Bring this man in. I need to know what the future holds.
Oh, honey, we're bringing him in. Trust me. All right. When we come back, we're back with Chris Medina.
$0 delivery fees. I bet that made you listen. Yes, I said $0 delivery fees. That's what you get when you Dash Pass by DoorDash. And if you don't know what Dash Pass is, I'm about to change your world. Dash Pass is an exclusive membership that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders, along with members-only deals and discounts. Dash Pass is the most affordable way to get food from your favorite restaurants or groceries or whatever else you need delivered right to your front door. Dash Pass basically pays for itself in 2 orders on average. Plus, Dash Pass gives you special access to exclusive promotions and menu items, all for just $9.99 per month. Get more from delivery for less with Dash Pass, $0 delivery fees, and reduced service fees on eligible DoorDash orders. Sign up for Dash Pass today and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change. Terms apply. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for Dash Pass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change. Terms apply.
So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part? Zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold, and that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now, so get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code Lala at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/Lala and use code Lala at checkout for 25% off.
We are back and we have a pretty epic guest, yes. Chris Medina. They refer to you as the Howard Stern of psychics.
Yeah, the Howard Stern of psychics.
I mean, that's
what?
Like...
What epic. A compliment. That's
epic. Yeah, I pride myself on that. I said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this the right way, and I'm going to come out swinging. None of this love and light stuff.
Yes.
Honesty is key.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So we saw here that you started doing this at 3.
Yeah, at the age of 3.
So I mean, what was that like as a 3-year-old to have that ability?
And by the way, and what is that ability at 3 that you know you have this special thing? Like, how does it even...
The psychic ability. My dad, on my dad's side of the family, it's all Native American. It's all Apache Indian.
Oh.
And my dad, back in the day, was a gangster.
Okay.
And he's a total biker now. Long Harley Davidson type hair, mustache, beard, everything. Native, still pumps iron, would get stoned with his friends.
Okay.
Wow. And would invite me in there and give his friends readings.
Wow.
And I remember going up to this one guy and during their smoke sesh and telling him, my dad was like, tell him what he needs to hear. And I was telling the guy that he was sad. I remember little bits and pieces of it, that he was sad and that he was worried about something. And the guy started crying and I thought I was going to get in trouble.
Wow.
I was like, oh shit. And then my dad's like, no, don't worry about it. You just told him what he needed to hear. And then my dad would... every now and then when we, you know, we'd be on the bike or in the car, he'd say, tell me what you think about that person.
Yeah.
And like play on that. And cause my dad's a more of a medium. He's got the psychic ability, but he's able to see ghosts. So his ability is a little bit different.
Wow. Okay.
And the stuff with the ghosts for me came a little bit later.
So for those people that don't understand the difference, what is the difference between a psychic and a medium?
A psychic to me, and this is just my opinion, is somebody that's able to predict the future, past, present, future. Some people, somebody that's able to get hits off of somebody. Just looking at somebody, I'm able to pick up, you know, what they were like as a kid, things that they're suffering from, things that are holding them back in the present time. And I like to dip back into the past life because sometimes the past life bleeds into this life.
Let me ask you a question.
Hold on. I want him. The medium is they connect to the other side.
The medium side's a little trippy. I'm different when it comes to the medium side. I see a lot of people on television going out there screaming at ghosts, trying to contact, you know, somebody that's passed over.
Right.
And the ghosts have actually schooled me and have told me, why would I come and see you if I don't know you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like I have no connection to you. So when the ghost comes in, it's usually attached to somebody that I'm reading directly.
Does that make sense? 100%.
Yeah, you can't just call in some, it has to be with somebody.
Yeah. And if I can't, and to cut all the red tape, if I can't pick up on them, like medium wise, give me a picture of them. And I'm able to tap in that way.
Okay.
What their life was like, what it was like prior to their death, all that good stuff.
Let me ask you a question. When you see a ghost? What does it look like? Is it the person, kind of an image? Is it a light? I mean, I'm just curious how that comes across. Or is it different every time?
It's different every time. For me, with my dad, he's able to see it in real time. I'm able to communicate with it face to face. I'm able to pick up on it and hear it, not necessarily see it all the time. Wow. I don't have that ability that my dad has where he could see it all the time.
Mm. Wow.
Mine, I can hear it. So okay. If I was giving Lala a reading and somebody was going to come through, I'd sit there and I'd give it works like this. I'm giving her the reading. I'm telling her what's going on. This person's coming through and telling me, oh, make sure you tell her X, Y, and Z. Make sure you say this because she's going to know who it is. So I'm trying, but at the same time, I'm trying to weed out that person because when you open that side up, everybody wants to come through.
Oh, really?
So I'm trying to make sure that it's something just specific for her.
Got it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah.
So I just think that would be so overwhelming to experience that at 3, was it? Did you want it to shut off?
The medium stuff didn't start coming in until I was a little bit older, around 6 or 7, but the psychic stuff, no. Everyone asks, can you turn that off? No. It never shuts off.
Did you want it to? Because it seems like you probably already have a lot of your own emotions to deal with, and then you're around people and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I didn't want it to dull. I wanted the medium side to go away a little bit.
Yeah.
It says that in your 30s is when you got really focused on that. Is that correct? Like that's when it really became, like it just became your full time thing.
I almost died when I was a kid. I had severe asthma and I'm old. So back in the day, they would put you in a plastic bubble. Remember those?
Yeah.
And you would have to sit in there for a couple of days to get all the oxygen. So I remember sitting in there and my guides were telling me, I was telling them, look, I'm not afraid anymore. I can die. Just let me go. I'm not scared. And they were like, no, you're here for a different reason. You need to concentrate on getting better. We will let you know. So fast forward all these years from the age of like 5 until 2014, my guides came in and said, remember what we told you back then at the age of 5? Now it's time.
Wow.
And I had led a normal life. I have 2 kids. My daughter is 23. My son is 22.
Wow.
That is so crazy because I'm looking at you and you have such a baby. Like you don't look grown at all.
I feel like I'm 120 years old.
Well, I can imagine when you've got people talking to you. And
For sure.
I mean, it's enough to just deal with my own set of issues, let alone take on other people's.
Exactly.
That makes 2 of us. Yeah.
Yeah. So fast forward to 2014, they came in and said, it's time. And I was like, well, wait a minute. How is this going to work? At that time, I was making $200,000 a year. I was very comfortable. I had these 2 kids to raise and a house and a car. And I said, this is not how it works in the material world.
Right.
I can't just, you know,
I can't pay my mortgage.
On a psychic mission.
That's tough.
So Jay was living with me at the time. He actually helped me run the company that we were working at before. And I told Jay, I said, it's time. And he was like, well, what do you mean? And I said, they want me to start doing this as a profession now. He's like, how are we going to do this? I said, I don't know. Reach out to every celebrity, every radio station, every television station, anywhere that wants a psychic reading. And then the first thing he booked was Comic-Con.
Come on.
Yeah.
So I saw that in your bio that you gave a read to a little girl.
Yeah, this one was, this is the first. So when people ask me, who are your guides? Who are they? And I've only labeled them guides because that's what the public labels them. And I usually just say they. Okay. I never use those metaphysical hokey words, you know. And so, so for lack of a better word, I would say guides. So I'm sitting there and this woman comes in. She wants a reading. And she said, you know, I've heard great things about you. I'd like a reading. And I said, yeah, perfect. I said, but I want to read your daughter first. And the girl was like 8 or 9 years old. And the woman goes, well, what for? And I said, because she's a medium. And she said, what? And I was like, I said, she talks to dead people.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes, for sure. And so the girl was like, I told the mom, I said, just have her sit down. I said, you can leave the door open. I said, you can hear what I'm telling her. That you don't have to close the door. And I asked the little girl, I said, you know, you're different. I said, tell me about the people that you talk to that nobody else can see. And she said, oh, you mean the little bald girl that comes and plays with me in my
toe?
Yes.
I can't.
Mm-hmm. This is like Sixth Sense and Night Shyamalan. Yeah.
This is Sixth Sense and Night Shyamalan movie right here.
And this is a little girl whose mother I was supposed to read, not her.
And you read her and you said because she speaks to people.
She speaks to dead people.
Right. And then she says to you, oh, the little girl that comes and plays kicks one.
And then she tells me about her dad.
I fall out of the chair.
Her dad died of an overdose.
Oh.
And so she's like, my daddy comes and he apologizes to me. He cries all the time. Oh. And then she stops mid-sentence. So this is going to freak you out. And I'm already getting goosebumps.
Oh, I see it.
I know. She's like, she stops and she goes, and I'm like, what's the matter? And she goes, she's just like looking right behind me. And behind me was a wall. There was nothing there. And I was like, what are you looking at? And she goes, I know how you know how to tell people I know how you tell people what to say or what you're telling people. I know how you get it. And I was like, how? And she goes, the 2 ladies that are talking inside your ear and the big guy behind them telling them what to say. And I was like, you can see them right now? And she goes, yeah. She goes, can't you hear them? And I was like, no. And she goes, that's how you know what to tell people. They tell you. And I was like, you can see them. And she goes, yeah.
Oh, my.
The only medium or psychic that I've ever had read me was a 9-year-old kid.
What does she do? Have you ever kept in touch with her?
No.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to jump into us because.
Hold on. Do you have any idea who she may have been talking about when she said the big guy behind you?
None of them.
I would lose my shit if because I was sitting there.
Yeah, they don't come and talk to me like I'm sitting here talking to you. They don't say, oh, tell Lala X, Y, and Z.
It just happens.
You hear it.
It's pictures. And it's just in my head. It just comes on. And before, I would have to sit there and look at a picture for a little bit and say, okay, let me dissect what I'm going to tell her. And now my guides are like, no, you're going to get the information as soon as she picks up the phone or as soon as you sit down in front of them.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I'm like so honored to have you on the podcast right now.
Thank you.
Amazing. Yeah. And okay, like, what an incredible experience that 9-year-old.
Let's jump right in because I need to hear something. This is too. I love this stuff.
Do you care if we get a read from you?
Nope. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. Randall's first.
Yeah, I'm going to give you up first.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you my spiel first.
Okay, give the spiel.
Just to let you know, before you answer this question, I do not discuss death and I do not discuss anything that's going to scare the shit out of you.
Okay.
So with that being said, is there anything that you want me to stay away from?
No.
Perfect.
Not at all.
The second thing is for the first couple minutes, I'm going to go in and give you what my guides are giving me to give you directly, and then I'll open the reading up to any questions that you have in regards to what I said, or if you want to know about something that we didn't get a chance to touch on, we could do it at that time. Does that work?
Yes. That works great.
Perfect. Okay. And then the final thing is your time is very important and expensive to me. I want you to feel free to jump in to call bullshit at any time. Do not hold back. Do not worry about trying to be polite, not wanting to hurt my feelings. None of that.
Okay.
If it doesn't resonate or if it sounds off, let me know. I do hit stuff, simply confirm yes, but do not give me any additional details.
Perfect.
Okay.
He's the real freaking deal, guys. So you're welcome.
I have a lot of anxiety right. already.
Don't be.
Go ahead.
So I'm not going to tell you anything that you don't already know. Okay. So when it comes to, we touched on it briefly. I just wanted to make sure that I can hit on these things while we're on the show.
Yes.
So with you, even though you and Lala come as a package deal, you guys still have your separate roads of life that you're going down.
Correct.
And with you, I said redemption earlier, but I don't feel it's that hardcore. I feel like with you, what you're doing is you're kind of like revisiting, where you are right now in this time and space. And I feel like there's adjustments that need to be made as far as like when it comes to your way of thinking, things that used to work for you before aren't working for you right now, as far as like the way that you're going about doing things, the way that you feel inside. I feel like you keep it going, that they can be very surface level to other people, but you're incredibly intuitive and also an overthinker when nobody else is around.
Correct.
And I feel like with you that you can, this is not a shot at you, but I feel like you need to work on how you can take it rather than you dish it, because you love to dish it but can't take it back necessarily. And so I feel like with you that the hardest part right now for you is understanding that and realizing that it's not about being vulnerable or weakness or, you know, lowering your power in any way, shape, or form here. But I feel like with you that, again, like I said, there's this thought process to where I want to evolve, but I don't know how that's going to look. I don't know whether or not it's going to be accepted. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's where I feel like you're at right now.
I think it's beyond on point, because I'm going through a whole rebrand in life and just a new way of thinking. And I'm trying, you know what I mean? I'm just really like Lala and I just talked about it literally 30 minutes before he came about just, you know, I'm changing careers and all this stuff is happening and it's like overload. So when I am in my thoughts alone, I am obsessive.
You've gone through a lot in this short time that you've been here. Mentally, you've seen a lot, you've witnessed a lot. And so with you, I feel like your memory is the one thing that you need to put into check, because I feel like sometimes as much as you want to be about the future, you can really bring your past from your problems from the past into your future and stop yourself. And I feel like again, your intuition, for whatever reason, and again, I know you come as a package deal, but there's something different about your progression right now. Yeah. So make sure that you take time with it and that you allow yourself the opportunity to make the mistakes or learn what you need to learn at this point in time.
Yeah.
Because I feel like with you, again, to say redemption, that's a hardcore word, but I also feel like you don't have not that death is coming here, but you don't have a lot of time to be fucking around. I feel like with you, that the next 2 years are going to be very fast paced for you.
Yeah, I would say the next 2 years are probably the most important years, both personally, because I have a newborn, you know, child, and, you know, relationship wise and then career wise. I think it's all that I put a lot of pressure on myself a lot about time lately. I never did that before, but now that I'm 50, I think about it a lot. Like every day means something today versus like I think when I was in my 30s, I never even thought about
That's what I'm saying. There's something with your mentality that's changing here, but I don't want you to stop the progression of that because you're overthinking it or you don't see it as clearly as you used to be able to see it before, because now you're going to be working on not necessarily your intuition here, but a different phase, a different chapter of life. I feel like that what you've gone through before was again a lot of lessons. So now you have the opportunity to correct what you've learned and kind of move in a different direction, somewhat the same, but a different feeling that goes along with that.
I 100%, and I think I'm trying to enjoy life more so than worrying about the destination every 5 minutes. Because mm-hmm. for 30 years of my career, it was get it done, and personally, don't worry about anything else, just get there. Mm-hmm. And today, I want to enjoy the things that are more important, which is my family and a new birth of my career.
How's your physical health been lately? The only reason why I ask is because you got to take it easy, especially when it comes to your stress and it comes to, I don't know if you're an emotional eater, but he knows what needs to be done, but getting him to do it is a different story sometimes. So take it easy, because I don't like the way, I'm not saying, I'm not a doctor, so take this with a grain of salt if you need to. And I would never talk about being overweight, because I am as well too. Yeah. But there's a lot of, I feel like with you sometimes, I question whether or not people know how stressed you are or what's going on the inside of you. She may know. Because
I don't.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like with you that
no, I share with you. I try to be
very rare. Minimal.
I think I've built myself over the decades into a way of somebody, like she'll always say, I can't believe you can handle the stress that you handle the way you do. I think I've packaged myself into a way where it's just kind of how I operate.
Yeah.
At the same time, definitely I have to be concerned with my heart, and I definitely have...
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, I have issue. I definitely have some, you know, issues that I have to take some preventative medication to prevent, and I also have to change my diet completely. And this all happened, what, like 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now I have a food delivery thing because I'm trying to eat really clean. And
but remember something, this is what I talk about when people talk about manifestation or the power of good intention. Make sure that the intention is there. You've read all the books, you know what I'm saying, you already know what you need to be doing. Start feeling that, because again, it's one thing to say what you're going to do, it's different for you. I'm talking as you as an individual to actually put the not the effort or work in, but allow yourself to take yourself there,
right? Instead of just knowing it, actually feel
incorporate
it, do
it. Yeah.
Right, and I think for the first time I really freaked myself out with my health, and Lala was like, you need to no more fucking around, like this is your wake up call. And so now I'm really I've changed the food thing. I've made a commitment to really start there, mm-hmm. and then hopefully continue down the road. But
you're
on point with all that, because that's all happening right now.
Do you have any questions in regards to that before I jump off to Lala?
Am I going to die early?
No, don't ask that. Well, he won't answer that. No,
that's what I'm telling you, to make sure that you're taking it easy. I'm not.
Is that a fucking hint?
No. But again, your way of thinking, and tell me if this is wrong, call bullshit if you need to. I feel like, again, like I said, that you're very sensitive, but I question whether or not you're saying everything that's going on here because you've been told either don't overthink or whatever the case may be, so you bottle a good majority of that shit up.
I think I do, and I think I'm really I have to work on that. I think that's something that I want to, you know, be able to communicate better, and I think that's something that I have to like work on, because you know you know something so well, like whether it's your career or you've been successful in life or whatever it may be, and then you kind of wake up and you realize, okay, I've got to pivot, you know, I've got to be open-minded, I've got to be more vulnerable, mm-hmm. and I think that's something that I'm definitely committed to working on, you know, is being way more vulnerable than I've been over the decades.
Yeah, you know? Because I feel like I said, whatever's gone on in the past with you, you're making, again, to say redemption is such a strong word, but you're making up for the shit that's gone on.
Yeah.
And I feel like with you, that, like I said, I don't have anything negative to say when it comes to how you earn your money or your career.
Right.
I don't see that. I feel like right now is a very personal time for you.
The next
2 years are very personal as far as your own personal progression. But then after those 2 years, I kind of feel like you're going to reach a point, and no one's ever completely blissfully happy or peaceful, but you're going to reach that point to where I kind of like the way that I look. I put that time and effort in here, things are kind of, I feel like you're going in a different direction.
I am, and it's probably the biggest change in my life, right?
I mean,
I'm really, really going through a lot of change right now, and rebranding, you know, business, and I'm going into a different path, and also personally with that, a lot of change. You know, I have a brand new daughter, 6 months old, that I want to be perfect for, and I think I've put a lot of pressure on myself to be the best version of myself, so that when she's old enough to, you know,
there's going to be some lessons to be learned with the baby as well, too. She's a beautiful baby, but she's, I mean, it's when she starts to get older, you're going to start to see some of the things, and I'm not putting a hex or saying anything negative there, but you're going to see some of the things that you think about, she's going to say out loud. And I'm not saying that she doesn't have her mother in her, but you're going to see that sensitive side to her, to where you're going to be like, okay, well, wait a minute. We need to switch this up in some way. I feel like, I'm not saying she's going to be overly emotional, but the way that she chooses about her boundaries, or how she cooperates with other people, you're going to see very much yourself in her. I see a huge lesson there with her.
Yeah.
In you.
And I want to be, when she's old enough to really have conversations, I really want to be dialed in and the vulnerability and you know, because I'm sensitive, like beyond, like she knows. I mean, I've, you know, I mean, I can.
I think he's more sensitive than I am.
Oh, I think so. 100%. 100%. 100%.
I'm going to say that, but I feel like with her, I feel
that's
like.
That's not true. We're both pretty sensitive.
Hold on. I want to hear what he's
going to say. But she's super, it's not that you're afraid to talk shit or to call people out. She's a little bit more direct, but I feel like with her, sometimes what ends up happening is that she doesn't go as hardcore as she needs to sometimes, and she can hold herself back and then end up resenting it, because she can be like, well, I wish I would have said this, or God, you know, blah, 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 this, whatever. It's difficult for her sometimes because she wants to speak up, but at the same time, I feel like that you don't get everything out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And then, so when I was doing your session earlier, thinking about, okay, what am I going to tell her? I know who she is. I've seen you before. Don't be afraid to burn these bridges, especially when you know there's nothing there. And I feel like with you that I feel like you're cut from a different cloth. Again, it doesn't matter what I think. Start capitalizing on that, because I feel like with you that you're going to go into a direction, especially when it comes to business, that. I'm just going to say this.
Say it.
That I feel like is going to be very much admired.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's, I mean.
That's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's two types of people. There's the ones that capitalize on their success and able to, you know, turn it into more than what they had anticipated it was going to be. And I feel like you're on that. You're on that part too. But what ends up happening to you is that you get sucked into playing the game.
Mm.
How do you feel about that?
I'm. Yes, to everything you're saying.
But you, remember what I said about you being on two different paths here. He's already in some way, shape, or form has seen some of that power. Mm. He's come into, he's witnessed how the game works. Because he's older than you. He's, and I'm not saying he's reached every bit of success in his career here, but you're getting ready to. You're getting ready to make some decisions here that are going to be, I feel like I'm going to carry you over the next 6 years as far as like what you do for business here. So don't be afraid to branch out. Don't be afraid to do something completely different than what's being done here. Because I feel like with you, again, like I said, you have all these thoughts here. You can envision it. You know the practical and logical side of things, but getting yourself to do it and not overthink it or it makes it seem like you're a follower, but that's not where I'm going with it. I feel like sometimes you can kind of like wait a little bit till it's too late.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's an overthinker, mm-hmm. and she'll procrastinate for 2 days straight and before she pulls the trigger sometimes.
But it's not, but right? See, but here's the thing with her though, is that she knows that. I would never ever call you dumb.
No.
I would never say that she's a dumb person. I feel like she's very, that she could be very calculated and know what it is that she wants. But I feel like, I'm going to steal from what you said. I feel like she does overthink.
Yeah.
I feel like she does not want to do anything that's going to paint her in a bad light, even though some of the, you know, some of the shit that she's already done has kind of put her in that position.
Yeah.
But I feel like with her, again, it's kind of like you know what needs to be done. Don't hold yourself back and don't wait for somebody else to tell you what to do. Again, not you being a follower here or kind of guide you in that direction. I feel like you end up kicking yourself in the ass when you don't do what you originally said you were going to do.
Yeah. That's so crazy you got that, because I think I'm a pretty, you know, I wouldn't say I'm book smart, but I think I'm a pretty smart cookie when it comes to the real world. But again, the logical side of me is always like, but why would we do that? Because here is where it's safe. And this is where we know that we're going to, you know, be okay. And I constantly, it's so funny because I said to my mom yesterday, I was like, I just need someone to tell me what to do. You know? Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry.
It's okay, baby. It's okay. It like I said, that's why I want to stay away from this emotional stuff here. Because again, like I said, I feel like your guides, angels, messengers, whatever it is that you choose to call them here, have already implemented this thought process in your head. The hardest part is for you to let go and you not to overthink it. But at the end of the day, how many times has she been wrong when it
not
came
much.
To what it is that she wants to do?
No, not much. And here's the thing. She overthinks things and then we talk about it multiple days, and I'm like a doer. I'm the opposite. And I say to her, just just go out, stop thinking about it. Like, you know, your reads are always right, Law. Like, every time, like, when she wanted to start the beauty company, she just did it. When she does it, it works out for her. I feel like when she sits in her head too long, that's the stress, that's the questioning herself, and she's waiting for somebody to say to her, this is the path. The path is her. She needs to, she's so good at what she does that when she makes a decision, it works out. It always works
out. You already have to look at yourself. Again, like I said, I'm not disrespecting the other cast members here, but you have to look at yourself in a different light. Look what you brought into fruition on your own.
Right.
And keep doing that, because I feel like with you, again, like I said, you have the thought process here. To say that you're practical and logical, yeah, well, I'll give you that too. But I also feel like when I talked about being calculated and manipulative, people would look at those words as being negative here. But I feel like with you, that you're able to read between the lines and see things that most people don't see or would never call out here. The difference... what you need to do is start going for it and not hold yourself back, because I feel like the other shoe is getting ready to drop here when it comes to, and I'm not worried, even if you guys were, I'm not saying anything negative about the marriage, but let's say that you guys were to break up, you're going to be okay. You do realize that, right?
Yeah.
You haven't even, you haven't
she's a baller, but let me just say this about her. If she jumped in more head first into the pool, head first, without overthinking everything, every step, I think her business would be a 30 multiple by now, because she's so focused and driven and smart. And sometimes she just holds herself back saying, I don't have the answer, but she doesn't need the answer because she can figure it out. She can figure it out.
I feel like you need to trust yourself more and not hold yourself back. I mean, you again, when I talked about him talk, you know, he likes to dish it, but he can't take it here. You are the same way too.
Yeah.
You talk a lot of, well, not shit talking, but you see things, or you're able to read between the lines here. Start calling that shit out. Start taking yourself where you need to go here. Stop holding yourself back, because that's what I feel like your guys are trying to show you here is enough with overthinking. And again,
but I want to say one thing to that. When I met her, and even today, she just is one of the smartest people I know. People don't realize, like people in the public don't realize that she's built an empire. Not from any, like we're a team. We're a team because we're a couple and we have a baby and we do some things together, like podcasts and stuff. But she's her own CEO. She built her own business. She put her own money in it. She makes her own decisions. Every deal she does is driven by her. I have nothing to do with it. So when people like come up to me and say, you know, whatever, I say, she's a boss. Like, she's a real boss. And I think she's in that same place, like what you're saying, because we talk about it a lot lately. She's struggling a lot lately because she says, I'm ready to go to the next level of her business. And I think she just got to jump in head first.
You
she's
have
She's so
to.
Good at it.
Yeah.
And also, too, you have to trust in the people that are around you, too. Do you honestly think that he would let you do something that was going to make you, you know?
Yeah.
And she's got partners. She's got partners in New York. She's got partners all over the country.
Yeah.
And they have her back. And you know what's funny? This is what I admire most about my girl, that she doesn't realize. She's got these partners in New York that are super successful, right? You have a brand with them. And they've hit a wall. They don't know what to do. And they look to her. They look to her. These are older people who've made a lot of money in business. And they look to her and they say, Law, how are we getting to the next level? And Law's the one who's put it all on herself to go to the next level in her brand. And she's the leader. She is the leader of all of them. She just needs to do it. And not worry.
It has to be difficult for you too, because again, you are an overthinker. You can be too much inside your own head and looking for that. When I say validation, people look at that as being a negative type of thing. But you just want to make sure that you're doing a good job. I feel like you kind of came in here, and maybe Mom could speak on this too. I would say you kind of came in here pretty fast as far as like growing up and being independent, kind of like, you know, did she learn how to talk and walk really fast at a young age? Yeah, I feel like that's if we were going to dip into past lives, I feel like you kind of had it a little bit too good in the past life where things were a little bit easier for you and you kind of got that here. But now the next step is we're in a different time phase. We're in a different phase of life here. Go get those opportunities. I feel like you're not, to bottom line, I feel like you're not challenging yourself enough.
I feel like fully you're, agree with you.
I feel like you're bored, and I feel like with you that, again, that if you don't do it, or you don't allow yourself the opportunity to go strike while the iron's hot, or do something that's completely different than what's going on here, I don't mean to point my finger, but you will end up resenting that decision. And the one color that looks horrible on you is resentment. Enough with that shit. Because she will think about it and then be like, well, I wish I would have capitalized on it, or I wish I would have done that.
Yes.
And when
so crazy that you talk about resentment, because in the program I'm in for being an alcoholic, they gave me a black chip that is the resentment chip, and they probably gave this to me. I mean, it was before I conceived my daughter. So, oh, it was a long time. And the rule with it is once you get rid of your resentments, you pass the chip to someone who needs it more. I'm still holding on to it. I'm not ready to let it go. So I definitely agree. It doesn't fit well on me.
But I think in your business, he doesn't want you to wake up 5 years from now and not have gone after it without not thinking. Like,
well, I think he's talking about in life.
Yeah. No. In all aspects, yeah. Because I feel like with her, like I said, with her overthinking however she gets down, I feel like it can cause like a level of anxiety. No wonder. I mean, I'm not saying that no wonder you were an alcoholic, but she's too amped up sometimes. Mm. And I feel like what ends up happening to her is that that anxiety or that demon, and not saying that you're possessed, but that little thing that likes to fuck with you. Sometimes it's hard to turn off. And I feel like with her that, you know, she's a very beautiful woman. And I feel like sometimes she thinks that, you know, that people look at her in a different type of light. They don't see the human side to her. And yeah. I feel like she struggles with that human side of herself as far as, like, you know, again, what's going on the inside here. Yeah. More than just a beautiful face here, but you guys don't know what it's like to be me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm like infatuated. I love everything that you're saying. We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back with Chris Medina, the most epic psychic I've ever been around ever, and I'm big on psychics. I would like you to talk about my daughter, if that's okay, Ocean, and your feels.
My feels with her is I feel like she's going to be okay. Like I said at the very beginning of the reading here, that I feel like she and Dad are going to have some very similar issues as far as the way that their thought process is as a kid. And now that I know... And I'm going to incorporate just a little bit of astrology here. You know, you're the polar opposite of your daughter, right?
Yes.
So you're Virgo and she's Pisces. Mm-hmm. The one thing with that there is that since it's a polar opposite, the lessons that can be learned between the two of you guys, as far as like you having her think a little bit more practically and logically with those boundaries between her and other people. Mm-hmm. And also she can teach you how to be a little bit more emotional.
Okay.
And not be so black and white sometimes. And I feel like with the black and white,
yes,
that you can cause that even though you are black and white, it's still there's still that, again, your frequency is a little bit high strung, a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I'm
is
very
an
high strung. In fact, I just did this interview and they said in it, one of the questions was, what's one thing you would change about yourself? I said, I don't want to be so high strung.
Well, that's what your daughter's going to teach you, is that compassion, that patience there. But I feel like the thing that you're going to get irritated with her is that she's going to move too slow.
Oh yeah, and slow people really anger me a lot.
And but she also I looked at the picture online and I was looking at her face. I also feel like for a sensitive that she's going to be a little bit feisty as well too.
Oh,
she's feisty. So I could definitely see that.
She's feisty now.
She's going to have that that sensitive side, but I feel like when she's mad or when she's overly emotional there, then you're going to start to hear the words come out. And yeah. I just feel like that's where she's going to get her mother's words of the way that she says certain things here. It's going to be very quick and cut. Yeah. Like you.
Yeah.
Just like her mom.
Wow, we're all in for a really big treat.
wait till the teenage years.
It'll but I don't. I don't feel like anything negative. I kind of feel like she's going to be a little bit unique as far as like her learning process too. So kind of have patience with her. How is she now? I know that she's only 6 months old. How is like her building blocks and things like that?
You know, she's actually. I'm her mom, so of course I look at her and I'm like, she's a fucking genius. Mm-hmm. She's like Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
But I mean, as what I've seen is she is very curious. She is hyper, like, if you and I are having a conversation, I'm holding her, she will be staring at you the entire time you talk.
Yeah.
And scowling at things that you say. I've been around a lot of babies since all my friends have had babies. And, you know, their babies are babies. They're looking around. They're, like, playing with the zippers on their mom's shirt. My baby is, like, watching you speak every word. And if someone else starts talking, her attention is on them.
The way that she visualizes, or the way that she's going to learn, is just going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be slow or you have something for you to worry about. She's very much, I'm going to say she is an observer, but she's also a child that's only going to, I feel like, is going to look at it a couple of times and get the hang of it really quickly.
Okay. Yeah. I love that.
That's what I get
off of. I'll tell you, she's very observant. That's her. She watches everything. Mm-hmm. She watches everybody, yeah. You know, and I think a lot of kids are all over the place. Like when they're young, blah, 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 blah. She doesn't do that. She stares right at you. She watches everything.
And when the other day I was telling her 1 minute and she put her hand up and she was trying to do, you know, and when she did, I was like, you're a genius. You should go to Harvard.
She wanted to talk now. She tries.
Begging to talk.
She tries.
I mean, she is trying to communicate in any way she possibly can.
Yeah. She's over like not having a say in the conversation. She's ready to.
Do you know if she's an old soul or a new soul?
I feel like she's a little bit of a newer type of soul. If we were going to dip into the past life with her, and it's so hard to say this because she is a baby, I kind of feel like this is something to where she's born at a different time in this lifetime as far as having a little bit easier for her, not because of who her parents are, but because I feel like she kind of struggled in the past life before, and in this lifetime here, she has just a little bit easier for her this time around. But my one concern with her is that she's going to want to do everything. So watch out for that, because those newer type of souls, and I've seen this recently too with all the changes that are going on in the world here, those newer type of souls are more curious. They're more wanting to get their hands in everything else. Mm. It's not just a vibe for them. It's the experience.
Okay.
Yeah. And also making those memories.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh my gosh. So amazing. Well, now that I've sobbed and you've given me a lot to think about, I'm not going to. I'm going to start making decisions.
And if you need help, you can always hit me up.
You don't want to say that to me because I will blow you up.
I know if there's one thing I know, it's Virgo. And you guys are self-sabotaging at times, but know a little bit about a lot of different things here. You guys are always the go-to. If you want a quick, fast answer, go to a Virgo.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
She know it's amazing. I get in bed. She's got some show on. I'm like, what's the shit? Oh, you don't know. So this was a murder in 1987 in Miami. And this guy, and I'm like, who knows this?
Yeah.
And then the next day you go in, it's like, and it's the story. I mean, it's so all over. She knows a little bit about everything.
If any of it is like worth something.
What's your moon in, Dina?
Oh my gosh. I always forget what my rising. I know that I have Aries and Scorpio, and I forget what my moon is, and I forget which one is my rising.
I have to look into that. Yeah, shoot me your stuff later.
I would love to. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's perfectly fine.
I'll put you on the payroll.
And what sign are you?
Aries.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I mean, you come home to our house and she has something new to share with you about something that she has found, looked at, read, or watched. And then schedule.
But
schedule.
The hardest thing for Virgo real fast is allowing yourself the opportunity to be present. Mm. And not think 3-4 steps ahead before taking steps 1 through 2, 1, 2, and 3. Be present and allow yourself the opportunity to be here.
I love that you say that. Because I have to actively tell myself, no, this is the moment we're going to stay in.
Because she'll start thinking, she'll start planning for stuff, and it's like, it's going to cause her anxiety. What for?
Oh, the anxiety's through the roof. Yeah. And I have nothing to buffer it. I used to have a cocktail. No, I don't do that.
Since the cocktails have gone away, there's not a real...
There's no buffer.
You don't smoke weed either?
No, I'm completely sober.
Weed would probably... She'd be like, oh, you should... Oh,
no, when I smoked weed, Chris, I would think people were in my apartment there to murder me. I'd be by myself, by the way, and I'd be looking in in the shoe because I'd be like, they're hiding in the shoe. I know they're in there.
Oh my God.
It was not good.
Well, if you need someone to calm you down, you could always hit me up. But I don't have anything negative to tell you, like I said. And I didn't tell you anything you guys didn't already know.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Like, this is great.
This is the first time that we've met. So
I love that you knew about me, that I'm going through this like major shift personally and business-wise. I'm really trying to, it's like nobody knows, only she knows. I mean, the conversations I've had. So that's neat. And then also, all the stuff about her, that's her biggest thing. I mean, right now in your life, I mean, let's be honest, the biggest thing for you right now in business is that you're trying to move to the next level.
Yeah, no,
that's
you all nailed she talks it. About. That's personal, all business about. Wise, she, all of it.
I mean, if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be her.
I mean, like I said,
to say that, to be manipulative and calculated, not in a negative way, start capitalizing on that because you know what needs to be done. And then she ends up saying, I wish I would have done that.
I know. I say that all the time.
No more of that. You already know.
I'm going to say it one last time, I repeat myself. She calls it the hamster wheel when I repeat myself. If she just gets on the diving board and she jumps off, even if she doesn't know how deep, how far, she figures it out. She's one of the rare people I've ever met that figures out a blueprint without anybody telling her.
Because she hates surprises. She hates to be caught off guard.
Yes.
The only surprises she likes is diamonds in a shoebox or money in a shoebox. But to be caught off guard, forget about it.
Yeah. Have you been living in our house or something?
Are you that fly on my wall?
I mean, what?
Oh my gosh, what a pleasure to have you.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where can people find you?
They could find me on my website, chrismedina.guide. Sign up for a session, half hour long session.
I love it.
To look me up, to see what I'm doing. I don't post a lot of pictures of myself, but feel free to visit my social media at Psychic Chris M.
And we're also going to post you, and they can go to our Instagram
and
look at Psychic Chris M. It has been the most fun morning. This has been fantastic. We're really grateful to have you.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Give Them Lala with Randall. We will catch you next week.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.